You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It just looks like he's trying to stretch his jaw the whole time.
He unhinges his jaw.
There's no lips. Snake. It's all jaw.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what animal doesn't have lips?
What?
Snakes.
Snakes.
That's why it's all jaw.
Yeah.
You
he's
sure
just
about
opening
that?
His mouth.
Ooh. Yeah, bed kissing is a deal breaker. I dated a girl in high school. Like kissing a skeleton.
That's everyone's take, right?
Put her on the poll at Le Batard Show. Is a bad kiss, is a bad kisser a deal breaker?
Who's the person out there that's like, I can deal with a bad kisser?
It's kissing like Pacino, where he's coming in and it seems like he's going to eat your face.
Yeah, and?
It's all chin.
And it seems like it smells like cigarettes, probably.
And mozzarella.
A little red wine.
And?
I read he's had, you know, he's never been married, Al Pacino. Ever.
My guy.
In his entire life. He's dating a 20-something-year-old.
Wow.
Your guy, you're married.
I'm just saying.
I know.
If you're living that life as Al Pacino, like, I just like that. Dan, that was you till like 3 years ago. What are you talking about?
Pacino is never married and dating someone who's in her 20s?
Yeah, he has children. He dated Beverly D'Angelo from the National Lampoon's Vacation series.
That
for a
is
very long
shocking,
time.
Though. Pacino's near 80. Like, Dane Cook got dragged the other day because he's engaged to somebody after, 5 years of dating who's 23 years old. Al Pacino's 80-something.
Yeah.
Or is he in his 80s yet?
I think he's pushing.
I think he's 80.
Yeah.
I did not know that Pacino was never married. That is 82. Something I am learning right now.
Man, I'm full of useless information.
Chris,
I mean,
Cody,
that Kurt Russell one, people are still reeling. Yeah.
Chris, you coming in with, my God.
I'm just saying it's
weird.
Most people that grow up as like in the stardom that he's had in his life to just never be married. It's just, I just imagine that guy's lived.
There's no question that Al Pacino has lived. He's
82 years. I mean,
he's 82 years old.
By definition, he's lived.
What are his first movies? What, A Dog Day Afternoon, Serpico? Like, what are we looking at? Early 70s?
Attica!
Early 70s on Pacino? He's been.
What was his first
50
movie?
50 years the guy's been making movies.
Me, Natalie? 1969 flick. He had a minor role.
10 years earlier than the movies that I'm selecting from. He's been doing it for 60 years.
What was his star-making vehicle? Was it Dog Day?
No, it's The Godfather. The Godfather was his third movie.
The Godfather was his third movie?
There was something before that,
lead, though. He got the lead in Godfather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he got that before Dog Day Afternoon.
Well, Marlon Brando technically was the lead.
Now, he was top billing, but in terms of
it was
of
one of those
time,
things where the studio wanted a bigger name, but the guy that made it was like, no, this
is
my guy.
Coppola,
yeah, he's
guy
like,
that
no.
The guy that
the
made
guy
that
who
Godfather.
Made it.
You know, yeah. The guy who made it, come on.
You do cinephile. What are you rolling your eyes
I'm
at
the,
me for?
That fact I just gave you is...
Yeah, no, it was good.
I literally informed you guys about it, and then you hop on the one little
Francis
sentence.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Like, you fool, you just educated us, but you said one little... I didn't even say the wrong thing. I just... Watch didn't want to like.
You didn't know his name.
I said I was going to say
Francis Ford Coppola.
I was
going to
say Copes. I was like, they won't know who I'm talking about.
Copes.
So, yeah.
I would know who you were talking about because it's Francis Ford Coppola.
FFC.
Tell
what other movies did he make?
Adnan Verk.
Yeah, a bunch of geniuses you are over here.
Godfather 2.
Apocalypse Now.
Godfather 3.
You need to tell, just get Adnan's reaction to you saying, I said the guy who did The Godfather.
While educating the crew, I happened to not say his name in the sentence. That's what I will say.
Couldn't think of the name
fast
enough.
I was educating
all of us.
Thank you, Jessica.
I understand. We talk a lot, Dan. Sometimes we don't say things that we mean. Things don't come out right.
She gets it.
I said Colander last week instead of Colander. People did not want me to forget about that on Twitter. Just said the word the wrong way. It's fine.
Oh, he's done a lot of movies lately, Francis Ford Coppola. But nothing that I've ever really heard of. I knew he did Bram Stoker's Dracula. That shit bangs, just because of Keanu's accent. Imagine, if you will, Keanu Reeves doing an English accent. You got a film.
You know you're looking at
a good one?
A real star's Wikipedia page when they have their own filmology wiki page, right?
Yeah.
When you scroll down to see all the movies they're in the grid, and then it's like, nope. Own wiki page. There's so many.
I've got more useless information. Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder may actually still be married. I believe one of them is still under the impression that they legally got married on the set of Bram Stoker's Dracula.
What is the best of the vampire movies? Because I just saw this week What We Do in the Shadows.
Twilight.
I would argue.
Get the hell out of here, man.
Eclipse, part one. No. Eclipse, part two.
No. I would.
Blade.
I would suggest Blade's up there, man. Deacon Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome villain. But I would say Bram Stoker's Dracula is probably my favorite.
Put it on the poll, please, Chris Cody. What is the best of the vampire movies? Bram Stoker's Dracula, Blade,
what was that, Dan?
Or What Hubba We Hubba. Do in the Shadows?
What We Do in the Shadows is my actual favorite vampire movie.
So
and
good.
The series on Hulu is excellent.
Morbius.
You were very critical of Morbius.
I miss it so. I do. I saw it twice, and I hated it both times, but I'm drawn to it.
Is it?
It's like it got its teeth in me.
Is it dead? Is the vampire? Of course, it's undead. Is the vampire franchise dead?
Blade's coming back. It's part of really? The MCU next phase. Yeah, Mahershala Ali playing Blade. That, he's gonna kill that.
Mm. About Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The first 30 minutes, I mean
half the movie
is a vampire
movie. You don't even know it's a vampire movie.
Yeah, but it's great.
Half of the movie is a vampire movie.
You don't even know the first 30 minutes of that movie.
Which is the best part. Yeah, that's problematic.
Ooh, Interview with a Vampire. Interview with a Vampire is my favorite.
Pretty good.
Don't say no. Don't say no.
Cocky Vampire?
Yes, yes.
The Vampire Lestat.
That's a good one.
You know they're making the series of that on AMC.
Yep.
That movie's great. Interview with a Vampire is the best one. Also, the sequel, Queen of the Damned, that turned into like a new metal musical with Aaliyah, that one's rad too. It's terrible, but rad.
Have we ever interviewed Patino?
I don't think we did. No, never Rick Pitino.
I don't think
Maybe
so.
Rick Pitino
no.
Jr.
Yeah.
When he was at FIU.
Right. How about the Lost Boys?
Michael. Yeah. That one's great.
It's great.
That one's great. That's a top five vampire
Holds
movie.
Holds up, too.
Okay. Top five vampire
It's hard
movies.
To come up with five. It's hard to come
There's,
up with
I think we
five.
Have
I just
it.
Named
yeah.
four from Twilight's the Twilight series.
Twilight's not on there.
No, no.
Twilight's
no,
not on there.
No, no.
Twilight's terrible.
No.
We've seen the baseball scene in Twilight. It's sports.
No.
That immediately puts it on the top
they,
five
that,
list.
That might make no. best baseball scenes. I'll give it that.
I don't think I've seen a single vampire movie. I'm scrolling through all of these. I'm trying to think of one of these that I've seen. Cinephile this week. Check me out.
Number five, Mike Ryan.
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Excellent, Mike.
Number four,
Blade 2.
Number three,
Blade.
Number two,
Lost Boys.
Really?
You're not going to have What We Do in the Shadows in here.
I think I saw this Dracula one with Leslie Nielsen.
Classic.
Dracula Dead and Loving It was my first place.
Number one.
Oh, Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Enough with the DJ Khaled collaborations with people that are hot right now. Yeah. We want to see DJ Khaled work with some of the great singers of yesteryear. Can you imagine how great it would be if DJ Khaled started bringing out special guests onto the stage and one of them was Bryan Adams? Hey everyone, it's Liza Minnelli.
Stugatz.
Barbara Streisand. Yeah. Elton John, it's your song. Andrea Bocelli. Another one. Tony Bennett. Frankie Avalon. Thomas Dolby is blinding you with science.
This is the Dan Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
I've got something on Prey, the newest Predator movie. Roy, you did Predator 2, right? On Cinephobe?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Jess has never seen any Predator movie ever. You should have said, I'm familiar with Kevin Spacey's work. All right, and we're off.
Hey-o.
Let's talk about Predator, everybody. I saw Prey. Do you know what Prey is?
No.
Prey is a prequel in the Predator franchise.
Really?
And Prey, for me, is easily the second greatest Predator movie ever made by a wide gulf.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's a bit of a rhetorical trick that I'm doing because pretty much all the Predator movies outside of the original Predator are not great. We like the monster. Monster looks cool. We like cheesy action. I've watched every single Predator movie. Even I can admit, outside of one, they're not great. Roy, you know this firsthand because you just recently did a Cinephobe episode that focused on Predator 2.
Yep.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but Predator 2 was set in a futuristic Los Angeles?
Yeah, that's right. 1997. This movie came out in, what, 91 or so? So this would have been like 1997?
Did they think that... What about 1997 through the prism of 1991 Predator 2 stuck out?
Well, apparently they thought that Los Angeles was going to be crime-riddled. Like, there were going to be gangs of Jamaicans.
Why would they think that in 1991 in Los Angeles?
Yeah. But what they didn't think of was what happened in this movie was everybody was dressed like it was 1958. Everybody was like wearing fedoras, and
they assumed that the fedora comeback would happen in 1997.
Weird. Yes. No. It was bad.
Did they get anything right about 1997?
No. Thought Jamaicans were doing voodoo in 1997. Right. Apparently, also it was terrible. They got nothing right in that.
Was there any great societal or technological change that could have occurred in the mid 90s? Like, I don't think there was.
They could have anticipated cell phones being more prominent. No, didn't do that.
No. There were still pay phones.
I was wondering if they were going to do something wild. I mean, like, oh, in 6 years, we'll have laser guns.
No.
It's like Demolition Man did that. In 1999, laser guns started happening. But have you seen Prey, Roy?
Not yet.
You should watch Prey because Prey, like I said, is awesome. And it's actually been a little controversial because I guess there's a lot of people stuck in the past that don't think a woman lead could actually beat the Predator, especially with how they... If you follow the story of the film, the predator only chases things that are chasing other things that are predators themselves. And the predator deems that woman too weak to even chase at the beginning. And she uses that to her advantage after he runs through pretty much everybody in the cast. High recommendation. Sugatsi would love this. I'm not sure if you actually know like the synopsis, but it's in like the 1700s.
Okay.
And there's a Comanche warrior,
right,
that comes upon the predator,
mm-hmm,
and has the weapons of the time and has to combat this alien predator beast that has slightly worse hardware at his disposal. Like, even the technology for the Predator is kind of lacking. And that's where it kind of lost me just a little bit, because a Predator doesn't have a metal helmet. He has one made of skull, and it causes problems for him.
Right.
But he arrived in a spaceship and has a cloaking device. I'm not exactly sure how he couldn't figure out the metal helmet part of it.
Are you saying in Prey, the Predator had a more advanced helmet than... than the original Predator?
No. It had a totally remedial one. It was made out of like another animal skeleton.
Yes. Okay.
But it's odd because he arrived in a spaceship, but they haven't figured out helmet technology when they figured out everything else. But the cloaking device is glitchy. He has technological issues, being that it's a 1700s. But the action sequences are amazing. And there is a great callback to the 1980s Predator.
Okay.
One of the legendary lines. You'll know it. It's not really a spoiler alert if you don't want to hear this line of dialogue being rehashed in Prey. If it bleeds, we can kill it, which is Goosebumps. In preparation for my Prey viewing experience, I watched the original one. Don't need to watch any of the other ones. Don't need that in my life. They're not great. Especially the Shane Black one is super disappointing, because Shane Black was in that 1980s Predator film.
There was also a reference to Predator 2 in there. At the end of Predator 2... the lead predator, because there was a whole bunch of predators in the spaceship at the end, tossed the gun to Danny Glover. Apparently, it was the same gun that they used in Prey, because in that setting in Prey, it was the 1700s, as you said. It was a 1700s era gun.
But Predator 2 stunk, right?
Like, it was terrible.
It was terrible. I don't know.
I didn't catch it. That is an awesome Easter egg, that the Predator threw a 1700s gun to Danny Glover. That's cool. And that was the same gun from the Settlers.
Yeah.
That are the real villains of Prey outside of the actual Predator monster.
I don't know how I feel in general about the prequel, because I feel like I don't want to know what happened before once I've seen the best parts of this person or this story's life, you know? I don't need to know what happened before. Yeah, but
it's a different Predator monster.
Really?
Very clearly, yeah. Yes, I'm not going to give it away. But
like the Karate Kid, Mike, I don't need to see Ralph Macchio growing up. I wouldn't want to see that. Just we're seeing the best parts of his life.
Cobra
it's
Kai?
The All-Valley Championship.
You would love Cobra Kai.
Right.
You would
But it's
love
not better than
series.
The All-Valley Championship, where Miyagi gives him a fake black belt and he goes on and wins the thing.
Kai is better than the actual Karate Kid movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Cobra Kai
is find that
awesome.
Hard to believe.
Now, Roy, have you watched any of Cobra Kai?
Not yet.
You're a big
That's
nostalgia guy. You need to get around to it. Cobra Kai is fantastic. But I'm telling you, watch Prey. You'll love it. Just as a standalone, it's a pretty rad action movie.
Okay, so you know me and my movie taste very well. I'm going to love it,
is
what you're
saying. The same formula, Predator chasing Prey.
Right.
Prey has to figure out how to kill the Predator.
Okay.
Prey is totally overmatched and has to outwit this monster.
Right.
It touches on all the classics.
But it's the Predator, and I feel like that was the apex of that particular... of that particular movie. I don't, you know?
The original is the apex. Even someone that loves the Prey movie.
Okay.
Yeah, the original is the peak, the top of the line Predator in the franchise. You can't get better than that motley crew, that mercenary crew of Bill Duke, Jesse Ventura, Carl Weathers, Sonny Landham.
So I want to have like
Shane Schwarzenegger,
Black. Shane Black.
Yeah, Shane Black, who's been canceled.
But the feeling I have towards that crew and that movie are feelings that I don't want. Like, I always want to have those exact feelings. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. This is not going to ruin it for me.
That's the dragon that we're always chasing, right?
Right.
Every time we sign up for any of the Alien versus
Predator
movies.
It is the
dragon
we're always chasing, yes.
Any of the Alien versus Predator movies, which were all kind of disappointing. I think the Robert Rodriguez-led vehicle called Predators was pretty good. That was with Adrian Brody. That one was all right. But we're all chasing the high of 1980s Predator. This is the closest I've come to recapturing that magic of my youth.
Wasn't the Predator an alien?
The Predator is an alien, but not the actual alien. See, they share a universe. That's why there was Predator, Alien versus Predator. I think Alien got top billing there. Unjustly so.
Agreed.
But so if you watch, if you listen to the Cinephobe episode featuring Roy Bellamy, one of the great memorable parts, and I totally miss the gun from the 1700s being tossed to Danny Glover. Now that you said it, it's fresh in my mind. But the big Easter egg in Predator 2 that got everybody excited was when Danny Glover goes all sweaty through the spaceship. Is there any other kind than a sweaty Danny Glover?
Oh, everybody was sweating. Yeah. It was hot, too. Now, it was very hot in that movie. Everybody was sweating.
It was apparently hot. A sweltering heat wave. They were on global warming far earlier climate than the rest changes. Of Hollywood
they
was.
That, yeah.
They nailed that part. But when Danny Glover is all like, no, going through the spaceship, there's a skull collection on display, and one of the skulls is the alien skull from the Alien movies. And that got everybody excited about the possibility.
Predator 1.
Predator won that
time.
And it made everybody want to see an Alien versus Predator movie, and they didn't get around to it until, 15 years later?
Yeah.
And it disappointed. The sequel was all right. But then Predators came out with Robert Rodriguez and Adrian Brody, where the Predators take a bunch of mercenaries to their hunting planet. And that one was kind of cool. And then The Predator by Shane Black, which got Shane Black, who is a really good screenwriter and filmmaker, one that I really enjoy. The Nice Guys is one of my favorite Christmas movies. In fact, every Shane Black movie is actually a Christmas movie, if you knew that. He was the script doctor on the Lethal Weapon movies, but he got canceled stemming from one of the castings. He casted a friend that was a registered sex offender in a scene with Olivia Munn. And since then, we have not seen Shane Black really since. So that leads me to believe that there's probably a little bit more there too, because people have bounced back from far worse. But this one, Prey, by far, a huge wide gulf, is the second best movie of the franchise. So I give it the highest recommendation.
I will check it out because you're recommending it. But prequels in general, Roy, are you a fan? Because now it dawned on me that Godfather 2 was a prequel to Godfather,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a very good movie. In fact, people would argue that Godfather 2 is the best of that franchise.
Well, Alien had a prequel, Prometheus, and that was Ridley Scott, I believe, who directed that one.
And that one was all right. And you could have gone into that movie not knowing at all that it was a prequel to Alien, and only at the very end do they really open up the portal to that. And then there was Prometheus 2. I kind of like that universe, but they just kind of quit.
Yeah, it did seem like they kind of quit on that one. Yeah,
yeah, that wasn't great. Alien also kind of fell off. Ironically enough, the worst movie in the Alien franchise after all the Predator reboots was Alien 3, and that's one of my favorite directors, David Fincher, that did that one. It's probably one of those that aged better.
Wait, you're saying Alien 3 was the best of the Aliens?
No, I'm saying Alien 3 is the worst, and
the
studio had, because David Fincher is this wonderful filmmaker. He's done some of my favorite movies. Yeah, I'm one of those cliche kids of the 90s that loves Fight Club.
I feel like prequels are having a moment right now, because we all kind of agreed 15 years ago that a lot of sequels stink.
Yeah.
So now we're like, how do we advance the story without making a sequel that people are just going to write off because they don't want to see Batman versus Superman 2? Let's make a prequel. All of Better Call Saul is a prequel.
That's right, yeah.
And like fans, showing us how we got there.
Fans love it.
Yeah.
There's a lot. There's some decent good
I don't love them. I think what's really hard to do, The Hobbit is a prequel.
I was going
to
ask you, because Lord of the Rings has a prequel franchise, and Game of Thrones
is about to come out.
What is that, House of Fire or House of the
House
Dragon?
House of the Dragon, I think, or House of Dragons.
Ring of Fire.
I mean, what'd you call it?
Rings of Power is the Lord of the Rings prequel series that's coming out.
Peter Jackson doing that?
No.
No.
No, there's been some contentiousness between Peter Jackson and the creators of the new Rings of Power series.
What's the budget for the Rings of Power?
It's $1 billion. Ooh. It's an extremely
expensive. This is a prequel
series.
To what?
The Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. It's like.
Mm.
But is it a prequel to even The Hobbit?
Oh, yeah. It takes place very, very, very far ahead of The Hobbit. Basically, a completely different Middle Earth.
I know you love the Lord of the Rings franchise. It just lost me. It's kind of too long, didn't read.
It never got me.
Yeah.
You know,
I watched.
That's surprising because the 70s were really like the hate. I mean, maybe you were too young for it, but like a lot of guys I know your age, Stugatz, loved the Lord of the Rings because in the 70s, like the animated Lord of the Rings film came out. And I think there was like a lot of, I don't know, it was just getting a lot of attention at the time.
I was just never into it. I mean,
they smoked old Toby and everyone was like, the Hobbits were like stoners.
This is a me thing. I'm just not into the world
coming
of
around on it.
Like Middle
Predator
Ages fantasy.
Is not fantasy?
No, it's sci-fi.
It is sci-fi.
It's sci-fi
it's
action.
It's considered a sci-fi action.
If there
movie.
Was a fantasy movie yeah. that had banging action scenes, I'd be down for it. But I just don't like, you know, like.
I think science fiction and fantasy, though, have a lot of overlap.
It's fair. It's fair. I'm not a fan of the setting. I don't know. I like modern
weaponry.
So if
the Hobbits were like in New York City with guns, you would be interested.
Yeah.
Wait, but Mike, you love Point Break.
That
you like Tombstone.
Awesome.
I don't like the modern weaponry, as you put it, but you still like
Tombstone.
You know,
did you mention
Tombstone's
Tombstone?
A great movie.
I'm crazy about Westerns, but
that's
there are some
yeah.
really, the good,
it's
bad,
a great
and ugly
movie.
Still holds up.
Right.
Tombstone yeah. still holds up.
Yes.
There's some really good Westerns out there.
For
would
me,
you call Django Unchained a Western?
I would.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that is absolutely
it
a Western.
It's listed as a Western.
You don't have to be in the West to be a Western.
Right.
It absolutely dips into, Tarantino constantly dips into.
It's a great movie.
Borrows yeah. from, is inspired by spaghetti Westerns. Look, all the great Westerns were done in Italy. Yeah. I mean, they weren't set in Italy, but.
What?
You're not familiar with the spaghetti Western?
No.
They were all done, like the best Westerns of all time, or I guarantee you there's like an Italian director behind it.
Get out of here.
All of it. That's how Clint Eastwood became a star, because of the spaghetti Westerns.
What are the best Westerns of all time?
The Good, the Bad, the Ugly.
That's it, period.
That's your gold medal.
I think it's also a prequel, is it not?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that was a prequel.
I believe it is, to something, yes.
No, there were sequels to the Good, the Bad, the Ugly. There is like a bit of an off-ramp to a franchise. What was the sequel to the Good, the Bad, the Ugly? Fistful of Dollars? I think so.
Huh.
But you didn't know that the spaghetti Westerns were a thing? That the great Westerns that you... Were you like... I think you're a little too young for that. People like my dad's age, all the TV shows were Westerns and kids loved Westerns. It was all the rage. I still like walk in on my dad and he's just watching Turner Classic yes. movies and it's a Western on.
My Grammy loved TCM
yeah.
every single day. Western after Western.
I was not into Westerns. I would say the Western I love the most is probably Tombstone. Like that's it, and it's really not a Western. Like I guess it is, but it's just the retelling of a great story, right?
Without
Doc
Kimmerer,
Holliday.
I've been diving into some old, like by coincidence, be it Heat or
so good
his documentary
Kilmer.
Or,
yeah.
or Top Gun.
Yeah,
Kilmer is so criminally underrated.
I know.
As an actor.
Yeah,
I think he had this reputation. I even thought he was a decent Batman. He had this reputation. He wasn't well liked. If you watch his performance as Jim Morrison in that Doors movie,
really good.
He embodies Jim Morrison.
Yeah,
it was incredible.
All right, I got to answer for the Good, Bad, and the Ugly. It's a sequel. The Fistful of Dollars is a prequel.
Wow, you were right.
And
how about that?
And A Few Dollars More was the sequel to A Fistful of Dollars.
Hey,
so,
woman!
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is the third movie in the trilogy.
Jim Morrison is my favorite artist that is not a musician.
Hey, that woman's like, I have to do.
Did not know
what?
How to play an instrument. Did not. He gave everybody... hope that could just sing well in their cars. They're like, you know, high end. I could be Jim Morrison. I could just. I got the pipes.
He gave Eddie Vedder hope.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie plays an instrument, though.
Yeah, Eddie knows. Eddie
plays
a
guitar. Yeah.
Jim Morrison.
Monica. Yeah.
Jim Morrison. He like went to the Doors meetings and he's just like, I'm about vibes. Like I'm just gonna go out there and I'm gonna put out a vibe.
Right. You guys play around my vibe.
He did put out
essentially,
a hell of a vibe.
Yes.
Mr. Mojo Rising.
Are you a Doors fan?
LA Woman.
Yeah. What's your favorite Doors song?
Probably LA Woman.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just such a great song
I had
to
no
listen
idea.
To in the car.
It is.
Stugatz,
builds up a little
I've
faster, a little faster, a little faster, a little faster.
Jim Morrison with you in a car in Austin, but you definitely don't remember.
I don't remember. Can you do it again?
I literally just did it.
Oh.
Peace Frog. Peace Frog for me. That's the best story song. And Touch Me.
Touch me, babe.
Riders on the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
The End, which is
Light My Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of bangers. But they had a very short run. When you look at it, the grand scheme of things.
Well, he died.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
There was that.
Famously.
Yeah, that helps. Yeah.
Famously.
So he shortens the run, Mike.
He was also arrested in Miami, I believe.
Really?
There was no evidence. Like, there's no photographic evidence of it. It was alleged that he exposed himself to the audience, and he was arrested by Miami PD. Roy, you can back me up on that. Is that the... I think I'm right. I'm like a dog with a bone on this one.
I believe you are correct.
I am right.
Are you looking it up or like, what are you doing, Roy?
I'm pretty sure Jim Morrison got
it. I know why Mike went to you because you know random stuff like that, but are you indeed looking it up or are you just confirming it?
Well, people sleep on Miami and that Coconut Grove area. Miami has such a rich history of great music that was produced down here.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees wrote some really tremendous...
He was from Melbourne, Florida.
He was. I lived in the Grove for a couple of years, Mike. There are constant reminders in the Grove of their musical history. You're right about that.
Yes, Jim Morrison was arrested in Miami for lewd behavior, indecent exposure, profanity, and drunkenness at a concert.
What year was this? He could have just been like gyrating on the stage.
Does not have the year. It says the trial did not begin until September 1970, so it was before then.
In the 60s then.
But Mike is right. It was a bunch of great musicians just playing around a vibe. Like, you know, you couldn't understand any of the words. He had a great voice, great song, great lyrics, but you really couldn't understand what the hell it is.
Even the lyrics are a little
sketchy.
The lyrics
right.
are extremely sexual because I vividly remember.
Well, he's sexual.
I mean, he has a song. Yeah. He's just like, touch me.
Yes, literally.
Oh, there was another charge. Oral copulation on guitarist Robbie Krieger during the concert.
What does that mean?
Simulated. Simulated oral copulation.
That's nothing. Here, look, Miami Beach PD. Arrest me.
It's like jaywalking.
Hold on. Scrub that. Cut that. I don't want the internet knowing that. I don't want that's going to be a GIF.
Leave it in.
Yeah, leave it in.
I was going to say the hardest thing to do with movies is to make the second, third, or fourth better than the original.
Then we should all bow at the altar. Well,
to Rocky.
No,
to Rocky.
No,
yes.
I was going to say Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Who's a master of this.
Well, no, I would
every
say
Every Mission Impossible, every Top Rocky. Gun gets better than the previous.
I mean, Roy, every Lord of the Rings Mr. movie T? Was good.
Roy.
They haven't gotten better.
The way I rank the Rockies, which is amazing.
How you cannot do this because there was a Rocky 5.
Forget about that. Mike, that never happened. That never happened.
The best Rockies for me are Rocky 4, 3, 2, 1, in that order. Like, think how hard that is to pull off where you keep putting out sequels and they continue to get better.
You're not including Creed in that, right?
I would say Creed is this is going to sound blasphemous.
It's not Rocky.
Creed is my favorite movie of the Rocky franchise.
I think we could actually separate Creed from the Rocky movies.
No, you can't.
Now.
Rocky Balboa is in it.
Well, they're separated.
But
the franchise
called Creed.
Is separating it now.
Yes. No,
it's
the
Creed franchise.
He's the son of Creed.
No,
can't do it.
Mike,
well, now it's about
Mike,
Creed. It's
Mike.
Not about Rocky anymore.
Slow
it's
down.
Creed. It's still about Rocky. The heartwarming story in Creed is about Rocky.
Yeah, but it's also about Creed and his son.
I will say,
I mean,
that's Sylvester Stallone's best performance as Rocky in Creed.
No, I understand that, but it's called Creed, not Rocky. So I separate the two.
You can't call it Rocky, colon, Creed. You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's Creed. You can't grift off of it that overtly.
No,
Rocky, Cole, and Creed.
No,
it's Creed.
Again, I can do what I want with my Rocky franchise, and you can do what you want with your Rocky franchise.
Well, Creed is a part of the Rocky franchise.
Well, it's not for me.
It boosts it.
Wow.
If you're out here arguing that the Rocky franchise is one of the
it
best franchises.
It extended it.
Yes, but it's still part of the franchise.
It's just something new.
I'm trying to boost your argument here. I'm giving you Creed, which is what I'm admitting is my favorite.
Here's the problem.
If that's the case, would you call Better Call Saul a part of the Breaking Bad franchise?
I haven't watched Better Call Saul. I told you, because there's no way it tops Breaking Bad. And I know what's going to happen.
It kind of does.
It kind of
does. Everyone keeps telling me that.
Exactly.
Everyone keeps telling me.
It's really good. It's a really good show.
Mike,
I can't really get down with a prequel where I know, like, there aren't,
you don't know the ending because there's stuff that's going to happen in the season finale that happens after the timeline of Breaking Bad. That's what everyone's waiting to find out. I don't want to spoil it.
All right, then I'll just jump in now.
That's what you're waiting for? To see what happens there in that last episode?
You've seen the series finale and that's it, aren't you?
Because I'm sure during the course of Better Call Saul, there have been times where you're like, man, I don't think Saul's going to make
it. No. Well, not really, because they didn't make the show about him. They made the show about other characters that you did wonder, are they going to make it or not? Because they're
but
not
to
in
Mike's
Breaking
point,
Bad.
You know Saul makes it.
Yeah, but they don't. They don't really
that kind of ruins
him,
it, you know?
No, because they don't like the show is not really about him.
Okay.
That's why it's really good.
All right, that's my disconnect. I thought it was all about him.
I mean, yes, it is about him and how
Better
he
Call Saul.
A criminal
I mean,
lawyer.
Who's it about?
But it's they what made makes the show really good is that these ancillary characters that they focused on have amazing performances and really interesting storylines, and so you wonder more what's going to happen to them. And in the finale season, there have been like some answers, like some characters have either, you know, died or we find out something's going to happen. I'm not saying who.
I mean, Mike and Gus, we know what happens.
It's fair to assume that characters die in a Vince Gilligan show.
Yes,
gruesomely, I might add. But there are still there's still a couple characters left, and we don't know what's going to happen to them going into the finale.
Just got so many shows, man.
Much TV.
Can Better Call Saul be like, it's just like such a mountain to climb. That's why I love Blackbeard so much. You told me the story in 6 episodes. I'm done in 2 days.
I like that.
I don't have 3.5 weeks for Better Call Saul. I don't. I had it for Breaking Bad.
Right.
It was a different time.
I don't know. You might have to make time for this one.
And there's been some really good guest performances, like
Tony Dalton,
Saul's brother.
Jess and Roy Michael do have McCann. Pretty good taste when it comes to television.
Roy told me about Breaking Bad way before anyone else told me about Breaking Bad. In fact, I think he told all of us about Breaking Bad.
No,
and I still have
synonymous.
The box set, the DVD box set that Roy gave me back in, 15 years
ago. You
still
have that?
I'm getting to it.
Still have a DVD player?
When I think of Breaking Bad, I think of Roy because he was championing that cause for so long.
Yes.
It's synonymous with
I think the problem with Rocky is that albatross that is Rocky V is sitting in the middle of all this. I know, but it's still there. It did happen. It's sitting there. And so we don't know what to do with the Rocky franchise. I am with Roy where I separate Creed and Rocky. And I think Rocky and Stallone pulled off the impossible. Where 1, 2, 3, 4, each movie was better than the next. That never happens. Now, Mike, I am with you. Creed might be the best, but I don't consider Creed to be a part of the Rocky franchise. I separate the two. I know Stallone's in it. I know the story's really about Stallone, but it's not Stallone boxing, you know? Therefore, for me, it's hard to really include in the Rocky franchise. He's a coach now, you know?
I think some of the issues, too, is like Mike said, you have a mountain to climb to watch Better Call Saul. And I did a lot of that during the pandemic because I loved Breaking Bad. And then I was like, oh, Better Call Saul, let me start watching. So I'm a Netflix watcher. I don't watch it on AMC, so I don't watch it live. But to that point, Stu, like Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, I've never seen a Rocky movie, right? But I don't know if I have enough time to invest in 8 hours of Rocky.
Right.
You haven't watched Creed?
You should find the time.
I haven't seen any of it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any of it, but it's like,
this is
I
why
have
Creed,
so much to go that I'm just like,
This is why I think Creed is a part of the Rocky franchise.
Are you going to say if you watch one, watch Creed?
No, I'm saying you have to watch the Rocky franchise. You don't have to, but to get the full emotional hit of what's happening to Rocky's character in Creed, it really helps if you watch the other films. It really does. I would say it's good supplemental. These are classics.
They are. I just haven't seen them.
Here, you can actually skip Rocky 1. You really can.
You can.
Because they just run it back in the sequel.
I mean, it's an origin story.
Yeah, here's underdog story.
Mm-hmm.
He has no shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a sideshow, like a circus act. Like, come watch the best boxer in the world beat up on this loser. And the loser puts up a fight. He doesn't win. The sequel? It's
a guy.
He screams, "Yo, Adrian!
Yes,
I did it!" But he actually didn't do shit. What he did is he lost.
He went the distance.
That was Rocky 2.
Oh, he went
that was Rocky 2. What he said,
"Yo, Adrian!" So you miss literally nothing.
Right.
He chases a couple.
So I can just
chickens.
Start at 2.
Is that also Rocky 2?
And Rocky 1, Adrian came
two.
In the ring, and Rocky said that he loved her. That's what happened to Rocky 1. Rocky 2 was when he won the championship. Yo, Adrian,
I spoiled Rocky 2 for you.
Okay, so he wins the championship.
So
Rocky
now you're
two,
on the three.
You miss a skating date in Rocky 1.
What about
number
3?
Number 1 is slow.
Very slow.
Very slow.
Does not
it's
hold
it's
up.
The worst of the Rockies, except
Rocky
for 5.
Rocky 2, you jump
it's
in.
Okay.
Rocky 3, that's Mr. T.
Mr. T, okay.
You gotta
watch
Rocky 3.
Must watch.
So I can start at number 3 then.
I think in terms of like working up hate for a villain, Clubber Lang is the second best villain in the franchise behind Rocky
Drago,
4,
right.
Ivan Drago.
Jessica,
that's my point. They pulled off the impossible. 4 is better than 3. 3 is better than 2. 2 is better than 1.
The villains in Creed not good.
There's no way these movies have aged well enough where Tony and I are going to watch them now and be like, oh,
you're missing
fantastic.
Out.
Fantastic. What a great way to spend 25 hours of my life.
It's not 25 hours. And I've cut off Rocky.
Like it's pretty close.
I've cut off Rocky and skip Rocky
25
5.
25 best hours of your life.
No, skip don't Rocky sleep 5. On Tommy Gunn. Don't sleep on Tommy.
No, no, no. I saw you, Tommy Gunn.
What are you talking about?
On Tommy Gunn.
So you could sleep forever on Tommy Gunn.
I mean, I lay your head on the pillow on that one.
Sleep forever on Tommy Gunn.
What?
Who?
It's a callback.
It's a callback.
Yeah. I know you guys are dead.
And the segment.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.